Vice President Biden talked about a number of things during his appearance on Meet the Press this Sunday. It just so happens that his comment on gay marriage overshadowed all the rest. But if you listened closely, you also heard the vice president say that the U.S. is very active in trying to give political asylum to Chinese dissident Chen Guangcheng. Chen fled to the U.S. embassy when he fled house arrest, but he passionately vowed that he would stay in China. But by the time he left the embassy, he seems to have changed his mind.
Understandably, by the time he gets to the hospital, talking to friends and others, he has a second thought. They said, you want to get out of here. You want to leave. And then he came to us and said, I want to leave. And I want to leave with my family. And we got to work.
That's Vice President Joe Biden speaking on NBC News. Among the people who went to work for Chen, Jerome Cohen, co-director of NYU's U.S. Asia Law Institute and an adjunct senior fellow for Asia at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's been in touch with Chen regularly, trying to secure his travel to the U.S. so he can study at NYU. Jerome, thanks and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
As I understand it, you actually were approached years ago about Chen and the possibility that he might study law here. And you looked at his resume, saw that he'd never been to law school, and weren't all that impressed. What happened?
Well, I wasn't impressed until I met him. I thought I didn't have time for somebody who hadn't formally studied law. But the State Department people who had invited him to be an international visitor told me, once you meet this fellow, you'll be very glad you met him. And that was very true. I first scheduled a half hour to meet him. I ended up spending all afternoon with him.
And you have spoken to Chen recently, correct?
About half an hour ago was the fifth time in the last 2 days.
How is he doing?
He's doing well. He's being very patient. His spirits sound good. He's recovered his emotional stability after a harrowing week. And he says the bones in his foot are being healed. He's getting treatment for his stomach problems. He's taking medicine, so he's feeling all right. He's playing with his children, talks to his wife, gets many phone calls, but isn't allowed any visitors. And we hope that can be cured if he has to stay there longer. We're waiting for him to get a passport. And we don't know. It may take a few more days. We just don't know. After that, he will come to the United States. But I want to emphasize, he is not coming here for political asylum. He has never asked for political asylum. He won't get political asylum unless he asks for it at some point down the line, but he hopes not to. He wants to go back to China. He still hopes to play a role there in the development of the legal system and in the protection of disabled people. In the meantime, he's going to learn a lot here in New York, and I'm interested to see this week New York State is preparing to take measures to improve the plight of the disabled people in our community. And he can learn a lot from that experience, including the political problems of getting through the legislature and getting the governor's support in Albany.
Did he talk to you at all about, you know, there have been people who've said that he was pressured by U.S. officials to leave the embassy at what was a potentially embarrassing time because of the annual meeting going on? Did he talk to you about
being pressured by U.S. officials? Circumstances were pressing him. He was confronted by two unattractive opportunities. The Chinese government was so angry at him and at the U.S., they were not prepared at that point to let him leave the country to come here to study. They wanted him either to remain in the embassy for an indefinite period without his family, or take part in this unique plan to come out of the embassy, start studying law in China, and gradually return to an active life in China. And that had a lot of risks, and he was very worried. State Department, rather than coerce him, asked him, they said, wouldn't you like some independent advice as you weigh these options? He said, yes. And they said, whom would you like to talk to? And he suggested that they get in touch with me because we're old friends. So they were trying to give him a chance to mull over his limited options. And I was happy on a week ago, Monday and Tuesday, to have a chance for very long talks with him before his initial decision.
We're speaking with Jerome Cohen, who's co-director of NYU's U.S. Asia Law Institute and has been working with Chen Guangcheng to try to get him to study law here at NYU. And from what I understand, Jerome, please correct me if I'm wrong, he actually tried to study law in China. You were helping him with that as well, but it didn't work out.
Well, he did manage to study law on his own. That's why we call him a barefoot lawyer, meaning someone who hasn't had a chance yet formally to study law. But in 2003, I bought him about $100 worth of law books. They have some very good how-to-do-it law books for non-lawyers in the Beijing bookstores. He went back to his very poor village, and with the help of his wife and his oldest brother reading to him, he absorbed a lot of those books and began to put them to use. And his brother would sometimes go to court with him, or sometimes he would go even if Chen was out of town. And so they began to have, in effect, a kind of family barefoot lawyer law firm. And I spent several days with them, and I met their so-called clientele. And it was a very, very moving experience, because in this impoverished area of the Chinese countryside, there were only four lawyers in his county. None of them were willing to take any of his cases. There was no money in it, and there was risk for them because they would have to oppose the local government, and they were dependent on the local government for much of their law business. And he also went to the Disabled Persons Society and asked for their help for all of these impoverished people who were blind, deaf, and had many other. One was a dwarf I met. You never saw a poorer bunch of people who needed legal help, and the disabled people wouldn't help either. The society said, we're dependent on the local government for our finances. So that forced Chen to try to become a lawyer on his own. And we wanted him to go to law school in Shanghai, and we had arranged for it. But before that could come about, the local authorities locked him up.
All right, so how long do you think? I mean, to a certain extent, he's going to be kind of starting from scratch when and if he arrives at NYU. How long will it take him to earn his degree?
Well, he's not going to study here. His English is certainly not good enough. He's coming here to exchange ideas, to learn about American system and other country system, to begin a process of cooperation with our scholars at the U.S. Asia Law Institute, to meet people on our faculty. He's going to be stimulated by all this, and then we hope he will go back to China as he wants to and begin to study law there and to use it again.
Jerome Cohen, co-director of NYU's U.S. Asia Law Institute, an adjunct senior fellow for Asia at the Council on Foreign Relations, and currently helping Chen Guangcheng arrange for travel to the United States. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.